Welcome to Skills of the Future, a podcast by Perennial Talent. In this mini-series, we explore how to apply skills and competencies to the world of work.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our podcast, Skills of the Future, and our mini-series on HR Game Changers, applying skills and competencies to the world of work. In this episode, we're going to be talking about developing and maintaining an organizational culture. My name is Andrea Butler, and I'm your host and co-founder and principal consultant at Perennial Talent. My guest today is Sadie O'Neill. Sadie's perspective on HR comes from a background in industrial organizational psychology. Based out of St. Petersburg, Florida, as an active member in forward-thinking communities like PSYOP and Hacking HR, she applies her PhD in IO to help HR professionals make data-driven and research-based decisions. From running Reconnect HR, a people analytics consultancy, to developing technology to improve hiring, she's always looking for ways to better the experience of people at work. Welcome to the show, Sadie.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
So let's start with our fun procrastination-based question. What's the best thing that you have watched or read lately?
Oh, that's a good one. For professional, I would say I recently flipped through this book, The Fundamentals of HR Analytics. It's D.A.'s Bunsen and Lee, and it's absolutely a great foundation if you're kind of allergic to numbers, and it demystifies analytics with some practical examples and case studies. So it's a good one to pick up and read a chapter or two on a lunch break. Personally, I recently just finished The Secret History by Donna Tartt, completely for fun, but really interesting read.
Yeah, I'll add that one to my list. So then let's move on to our more topical questions. So I'm just curious, from your perspective, Sadie, how do you think the pandemic has affected an organization's ability to really define, develop, and even maintain their unique organization's culture?
Yeah, in vast and constantly changing ways. I think first, defining organizational culture. We talk about a collection of values, expectations, and practices that guide and kind of drive the actions of team members. And on the other hand, you have the climate, which is the way people experience their work environment. So when you walk in somewhere, and you have this feeling of, oh, this place feels busy, or walk into a library and it feels quiet and studious. That's climate. So focusing on culture today, this collection of values, expectations, and practices, I think one of the things that really I've seen a change in is coming out of survival mode. We're seeing a lot more culture and D&I work now, which is usually a next level step instead of handling baseline issues like the logistics of mailing laptops to your new remote workforce. There's less time to worry about what we're doing to go above and beyond and cultivate a culture. And of course, remote work makes it more difficult to define and develop because you have to take extra steps to reach out and understand what people are experiencing at home behind their computers. Communication becomes a bigger part of this culture. We have Zoom, Slack, email, calls, and these almost add to the core job functions. So ensuring that open communication is part of that culture is really important for maintenance and connection.
And when it comes to that maintenance and connection, what do you think are some of the key challenges that you've seen when it comes to that maintenance of an organization culture, of an organization's culture?
Yeah, especially with the communication piece, taking an active role in HR, reaching out to understand and listen to what employees are experiencing, where they prefer to communicate, maybe changing job hours, holding meetings that are at times with a remote and disparate workforce, and taking those things into consideration, and getting a sense of what employees are going through during the pandemic, and now as we come in kind of on the back end of that, what they can do to support them in those still, you know, kind of uncertainty times where we're changing now to going back into companies. And we're also looking at changes to the HR function as a whole. And so making HR more proactive arm for communication and maintenance of the culture.
And do you have any kind of tips or tricks, so to speak, for how to go about becoming more active in that communication as an HR function?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. There is a bottom-up feedback process called continuous listening that I would highly recommend on top of culture surveys, where you have an interaction or an open platform where employees can go in and share their thoughts. And this is a direct line to leadership, so they feel that their voices can be heard even anonymously. And this is important because you can't stop by an office anymore and kind of knock on the door and get a sense of what people are experiencing. So this just allows that direct line of communication to remain open during remote work.
Makes sense. And as you know, I'm kind of the competency guru. So I'm just wondering, from your perspective, what skills or competencies do you feel are particularly important right now for an organization if they're going to build and reinforce that unique culture?
I think this is something that's rarely asked about on culture surveys, but psychological safety climate has come up a lot recently, especially with companies that are driving innovation. This is the shared perception of policies and practices that help protect worker psychological health and safety. And this stems a lot from management practices. So that's a great competency for HR professionals and managers to develop. As I mentioned earlier, both bottom-up and top-down communication. There was a really interesting study done, I believe it was FedEx, and they tracked the communication between teams and just said, high communication volume, low communication volume between business units. And the results of that, the HR team could use to say, hey, these are the ideas that aren't getting out of teams. These are different silos that we may see in communication. Another tool you could use is network analysis. And this is kind of a emerging tool, but you could look at where is your information siloed, especially if you're driving that open communication culture. And then for HR, I believe in the power of data analysis, not in the disconnected numbers way that some may think, but really creating this feedback culture, creating an open line of communication. And I used to be a proponent of anonymous culture surveys, and that's what we see almost all companies doing across industries. And now I think more importantly, creating a culture of open and honest feedback where everyone's voice feels heard is more important than anonymity. And that does two things. It supports the psychological safety climate, and then allows you to distribute confidential surveys, meaning that you're not aggregating your results in less than 5 or 10 employees so people can't be identified, but you have the chance to link those items like engagement or manager satisfaction to tangible employee outcomes. So then we could create a model where you are saying for every 1 point increase in engagement, you're selling 125 more widgets. And that's a great way to be a strategic partner with the business. So that helps you show, that helps you show the ROI of these HR initiatives. So I think there's a two camps on this, but it does make the feedback more actionable.
Yeah, without that ROI, sometimes it's hard to make the change even happen.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. You get buy-in from the top down, right?
Exactly. So speaking of data, as I know that you are a data guru, are there any certain types of data that when it comes to culture, you would recommend someone collect?
There's different facets of culture, right? So there's feedback on managers or engagement. The ENPS, the Employee Net Promoter Score, we're seeing more of. That was taken from marketing research. And it's just a simple question of, would you recommend this company to a friend? And that is a great one item kind of a proxy for engagement to include. And then, of course, the facets of your culture that you should measure should be things that you're willing to action. And these are, it's kind of a funny one, but I see companies asking about comp and benefits, specifically salary on culture surveys. And my first question is, if you're asking about it, are you ready to give everyone a raise if they're unhappy? Because when, you know, you're reporting these findings to leadership and people don't think they're paid enough, what do you do with that information? So I recommend only asking things on the survey that are actionable and you're ready to address. Then the results are going somewhere. And how powerful to say, we heard you, we heard you don't want to come back to work. So we're going with a hybrid model. And we care and value your opinion as part of the success of this company, and we're acting on that feedback. So that helps people trust that their opinions matter and that their feedback is valued.
And what do you think are the future threats or pain points if an organization really doesn't take the time to define and even maintain their organization's culture?
I have a list. But I think, so we define this as weak culture when you don't have strong values, which are kind of at the heart of any culture and kind of crystallizing some of those practices. But it really does lead to instability, a lot of lack of innovation, low customer focus. You kind of have these informal communication channels, maybe micromanagement or competition. And I think a kind of a general lack of empathy. So by asking these things that are a little bit less tangible, it's showing concern and also helping you define what makes people successful and happy at your company. The other pain point may be that you are rewarding behavior or individually incentivizing things that aren't in line with your culture. So if I'm recognizing only individuals where they succeed and they're doing things their own way, and then the next month someone's awarded for doing things a different way and so on, you're sending mixed messages and creating a weak culture. So if you link rewards to the values that you want to encourage and your rewards aren't counter to the culture, you're helping yourself out and you're helping kind of create and reinforce the values.
Good old positive reinforcement, eh?
Yes, psychology 101.
So you touched upon the importance of having a culture survey and also communication. Are there any other actions you'd recommend a company take if they really wanted to mitigate some of these threats that you just pointed out?
Yes, absolutely. I'm trying to come up with something catchy, but what comes to mind is a couple of steps. So I would say define, if you haven't already defined your culture, this is a really great starting point. You don't have to look backwards and say, what have we been doing wrong? But ask, who do we want to be? Write it down, do a brainstorming session with leadership, do focus groups. One approach to focus groups are this appreciative inquiry approach. You can do some design thinking. One really fun one is a yes and brainstorming session where every idea is met with a yes and. It's really refreshing and you'll feel the psychological safety of that environment. But as an HR culture advocate, your goal isn't to create a culture, but you're defining what currently exists that's working and continue it. And that starts with first putting your finger on it. So first I would say define. And then the second, you want to align your practices that are consistent with the desired culture. So throw out the ones that aren't consistent in the trash. This is tough, but it somewhat follows, I'm sure you're familiar, Levin's unfreeze, change, refreeze model, right? But you're making small changes. So is there a group or a manager that has a fiefdom? Find out why. And is this working for the company? Are you okay with subcultures? If this isn't aligned with the values and it's not working, how can you make small changes in communication, location, collaborating on teams, and realign those groups? Another example that we've seen asked about in culture surveys more recently is social responsibility. Corporate social responsibility is a pretty big ticket item being measured on culture surveys now that we didn't see a few years ago. Well, if your value is environmental sustainability and you have printers in every office, then that's an unaligned practice, right? Will it cost the same in ink and paper to give everyone a tablet who goes through training and reduce paper and take digital notes? I think going back to ROI, that's an easy sell to leaders. To leadership, we're saving you money, reducing our environmental impact, and giving away tablets. It seems like a win-win-win. So that is the second thing I would say to mitigate threats. So define, align, and then observe. I'm a huge proponent of the bottom-up feedback and continuous listening, and just asking people goes a long way. So there's consultants that can help you create great surveys and understand what competencies to look for. There's so much technology that reduces the time input into this process or slices the data for you. But to bring this back to remote work, I think HR of the future is taking a more proactive role to reach out to employees and listen to them. And this will probably help with some of the firefighting too, instead of going around putting out fires, getting ahead of the curve by actively observing and making small changes along the way. It's in the best interest of both employees and the company. So to mitigate the threats, I would say define, align, and observe. And I wish I could think of something that rhymed better, but those are the three big ones.
DAO is the acronym. There you go.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you.
Beyond the DAO, are there any, do you have any advice, I guess, for any other HR professionals who maybe are starting to think about their culture or starting to think about how can they continue to reinforce it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think ask yourself, what is the way that we do things here? And then you'll better understand how you can stand out from other companies in the same industry. And you can celebrate those things when you're recruiting. Hey, we provide healthy snacks, lunch on Fridays, and have $500 in health credits for gym membership. This is sending a message. We support you, your wellness, inside and outside the office. And that's showing your value. And a lot of companies already do this. They just don't shout it from the rooftops enough or include it in hiring, but it's a big part. So getting recruiters to champion all the tangible and intangible things that make your company great.
Well, that was actually the last question that I had for you today. Is there anything else that you wanted to add before we sign off?
Yeah. So I think a lot of the things that we talked about today have been practical, and there's, you know, from an IO psychology standpoint, there's whole research streams on all of these things, both from academics and corporations that, you know, dedicate their life to studying culture. And I think sometimes there's a gap between academic-based knowledge and research best practices. And, you know, what happens when you're in the field and the weeds, you don't have time to go read research, or it's behind a paywall and dense. And So I encourage the partnership with IO psychologists who understand the science behind HR and people at work. And if that's not available to you, then for listeners, you're taking a great first step right here and now. We call this learning goal orientation, but keeping the appetite for knowledge and learning, things like listening to podcasts and reading books and learning from your customers and the employees, it'll all help you in your career and your culture.
That appetite for continuous learning, if you will.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, thanks for being on the show today, Sadie, and thanks to our listeners. And if anyone wants to learn more about anything that Sadie has talked about today, the best place to reach her would be on LinkedIn. So thanks again, Sadie.
Thank you so much for having me.